Well, good morning, Potter's Foursquare. Hope all is well. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office once again. And we are doing sort of podcast versions of the sermons on Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings. So, right now we continue with both Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. We will do so until such time as we feel that it's not safe. And so right now, I think things are going well. Again, I know there is a little bit of risk to what we have decided to do, also a little bit of faith. And I think it's a good mixture. I've had phone calls from people in our church that are okay, really, with what we're doing. And some have chosen to just listen online, and I think that's great. I think it's a good mix of people that are listening online and those that are participating in service. We do, however, continue to monitor everything because we just want to be safe. And so we've had limited people at service, probably one-third the amount that we normally have, both on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And so for now it works. Two things could change that. Number one, we start having more people means we'll probably go to two services. Or the lockdowns get more aggressive, and then we will probably the next step will be not to have a Wednesday service and just be completely outside on Sunday mornings for a limited time. So we're still praying about it, but for right now, we are both Sundays and Wednesdays at the church, so we invite you to come on out for that. On Wednesdays, we're studying the book of Ephesians, and we're in about the fourth chapter, and on Sundays, we're studying the Gospel of Matthew, and we are towards the middle of chapter 13, studying the parables. And so there was a time when Jesus in Matthew was talking about miracle after miracle after miracle, and Matthew was recording those miracles and the response of the people and sort of the response of Jesus and the circumstances of the miracles. There were multiple healings, multiple miracles, and then that time has stopped in Matthew, and now he is speaking through parables, right? And so we're going to have parables with different meanings, different characters. And remember, the main reason why the Lord spoke to us in parables was to make sure that the gospel message and the kingdom of God was something that we could explain, right? Something that we could easily explain to other people, something that was more story-oriented rather than doctrine-oriented in terms of sharing with others. And I think it's a powerful tool for us. It remains a powerful tool for the church to continue to communicate to people, especially when we're witnessing in parables, because, you know, if somebody were to ask, what's the kingdom of heaven like? I mean, what's this whole thing about, you know, the Lord and everything? We could explain it, and we could explain it very easily. In just a few parables, we can explain a lot about the nature of Jesus, the love of God, and his wanting and desiring for his people to be saved. And so a lot of good stuff. So today we're going to be talking about the parable of the weeds. Last week, for the last 2 weeks, the first week was we studied, you know, what the meaning of parables was. And then last week we did the parable of the soils and the explanation of the parable of the soils. That puts us about verse 24, which we'll be starting this morning. But I just want to make sure that we understand that before we read this, there's sort of a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is this particular passage has been taken out of context by many theologians from a long time. And I can see how a mistake could be made, but we really need to focus on the text this morning, because I think that if we do that and stay within the text, we understand all of the characters of this parable, who is who and what the meaning is, right? And that's the important thing with parables, is you have to develop an understanding of who the characters are, what the story is, and what the meaning is. And if you don't walk away with the meaning, then it's just a story. But if you walk away with the story and the meaning, then it's something that you can sort of attach to your heart. So we are in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30, and I'll begin reading in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came in and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters first to collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying and doing in your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, why are we here this morning? We're here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you, that is me. Never, ever does this process end. We study to show thyself approved until the day we leave this earth. So, some observations. Well, the misconception here is that this parable of the weeds and the wheat or the tares it's got a lot of spiritual significance and truth. But in spite of the clear explanation of the parable is often, like I said, misinterpreted. And many commentaries and sermons have attempted to use the story as an illustration of the condition in the church. And they do that by noting that both true believers are the wheat and the false believers are the weeds in the church at large and individual local churches. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I'm not saying that everybody in church is a born-again believer, because that's absurd. We know that that's not true. But Jesus distinctly explains that the field is not the church, it's the world, right? In verse 38, he gives a clear explanation of what this means. And that is, you know, as we continue reading, it's the world. So the characters, let's go over that. The characters, the sower or the landowner is Jesus. And the seeds are the redeemed believers. That's you and I. The field is the world. The enemy is Satan. And the bad seeds are the false teachers. And the servants that possibly are the angels in heaven. So the field is the world. And even if it hadn't been specifically told to us in this setting, right, that the landowner tells the servants not to pull up the weeds in the field, but to leave them until the end of the age. Now, if the field were the church, this commandment would be in contradiction to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18, which tells us how to deal with unrepentant sinners, right? They're to put them out of the fellowship and treat it as unbelievers if they don't repent. Jesus never instructed us to let unrepented sinners to remain in our midst until the end of an age. He gave us a mechanism to deal with that in Matthew 18 and confronting one another in Matthew 18. So Jesus is teaching here about the kingdom of heaven being in the world, verse 24, right? That's what he talks about. So what does all this mean? Well, interpreting, I want you to pay close attention here, because although it doesn't say specifically this, you know, this particular parable, like the parable of the mustard seed, talks about the seed and the plant. This talks about the wheat seed and the wheat plant. The parable of the sower just talks about seeds. So this is specific. And so the agricultural society of Christ's time, they were an agrarian society, they depended on the quality of their crops, right? And so if you really wanted to mess with your competitor, you would sabotage their business by sowing weeds amongst their wheat, right? Because it would just cause problems. So the tares in this parable are most likely this plant that they call darnel. And darnel is a weed. Until mature, it appears like wheat. They both grow together and you can't tell. There is a time when you cannot tell darnel from wheat. It looks the same, right? So without modern weed killers, that would be, what the farmer is supposed to do in this dilemma? He's in big trouble. He's got weeds growing. He thinks there's one day he thinks everything is wheat. And then all of a sudden he starts seeing wheat grow with fruit, obviously. And the darnel or the weeds don't have that. So as the wheat begins to bud and you see that there's a difference, one is producing fruit, one isn't. So instead of tearing out the wheat with the tares, the landowner in this parable, wisely waits until the harvest. After harvesting the whole field, the tares could be separated and burned down, and the wheat would be saved in the barn. So remember that. There's a counterfeit to everything that God has that is righteous. There's a counterfeit that the enemy has. And we see that a lot in society, right? We see it a lot. I think politics right now is a counterfeit hope. There is no hope in politics. There's hope when individuals in the United States decide that they're going to make this country what it used to be and bring it back to the rule and reign of godly values, right? We've let that slip away, and now we have a nation that is looking to politics to fix it. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. It is completely misleading, and it's a fraud, really. So the second thing that we need to really consider here is that, we have the enemy who wants to put us in compromising positions all the time, and he offers counterfeits. There's counterfeits to everything that we have. Like when I pray, there's God's perfect will, and then there's some other will, right? And that other will, it could be my will, it could be somebody else's will, but if it's not God's will, it's the enemy's will. And I think that when we have choices, we need to understand there's God's perfect will, and anything outside of God's perfect will is a counterfeit. And the second thing here is the kingdom of heaven, this process on earth. Now, the kingdom of heaven, the explanation of the parable, Christ declares that he himself is the sower. He spreads his redeemed seed, true believers, in the field throughout the world. And through his grace, these Christians bear fruit. That fruit is of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5:22. Their presence on earth is the reason the kingdom of heaven is like the field in the world. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Mark chapter 3 and in Matthew chapter 4, he meant the spiritual realm which exists on the earth side by side with the evil one, right? Side by side. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 talks about that. So when the kingdom of heaven comes to fruition, heaven, right, is going to be this reality that there will be no weeds among the wheat. Why? Because they're going to be separated. But for now, both good seeds and bad seeds mature in the same field, which is the world. So we have the work of the enemy, right? That's the third thing that I really want to focus on, because the enemy in this parable is Satan, and he is in opposition to everything that Jesus does. He tries to destroy the work that the Lord does by placing false believers and teachers in the world to lead people astray. And we've seen that over and over again. The world is filled with professing Christians who, they just have ungodly actions that bring shame to the Lord. And we are not to pursue such people in an effort to destroy them. That's not our job. We can't go around finding these people and saying, and we can't be the spiritual cops, right? Every time we've done that throughout history, it has been at a great cost. You consider the Spanish Inquisition or the Crusades or the reign of Bloody Mary in England. All of those efforts at a time appeared righteous, but they were a waste of time. It is the Spirit's work to do this. It is not you and I. It's not you and I. It's not the work of the Christian. We are to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry as me, the pastor, and you guys are out spreading the gospel, spreading the word of God, baptizing and bringing people into the kingdom. The bad results of men taking it upon themselves, the responsibility of separating true from false believers, is reserved for God alone. It's God's job. Instead of requiring that these false believers be rooted out of the world and possibly hurting the immature believers in the process, Jesus says, let them remain until I come. I'll deal with them. Guys, we are living in that world now. right? We're living in that world. So in applying this evening, the number one thing that I see out of this is when you walk by this field, you're going to see two plants. You're going to see one that from the ground up to a certain level, they all look the same. And then you're going to see above the ground about a foot, another foot above that, in the 2 foot, 3 foot area, you're going to see these plants don't look the same because one is producing wheat and the other one is producing nothing, right? So fruit producing, like the parable of the sower, the seeds produce the growth. It's unsustainable growth, right? Seeds produced the growth, but it's if you look at the parable of the sower, right? When he throws the seeds and lands on the good soil, those were fine, but the other ones that fell were unsustainable. And that's what weeds are. They're unsustainable. At the time, the wheat and the tares look the same on the outside, but they're very different on the inside. The difference is one is for consumption, for food and bread, and the other one is for fire. Now think about this. We need to be producing fruit. And if you look at your life and you think, well, you know, am I a weed? Am I wheat? What am I? Well, first of all, everybody that is wheat knows they're wheat. Why? Because they know the fruit that they produce. They know what it is. They know how to produce it. It is spirit produced. It's not man produced. It's when we decide to walk in the spirit that all those things are produced because of the spirit's power. The fruit of the spirit, the gifts of the spirit, all of those things are building up the church. Anything that we are doing to build one another up and to love one another, right? When you read 1 John, I totally think that everybody should spend some time in 1 John because as a believer, it really challenges you to ask the question, am I saved or not? But it's not, when you read 1 John, the thing that the writer of 1 John really focuses on is love. If you have love, then you're fine. It doesn't talk about sexual immorality a lot. It doesn't talk about sin like that. It talks about having love. If you have love, and you're loving mankind, and you're loving the lost, and you're loving the redeemed, and if that is your goal, that's what Jesus did, then the Lord has provided a mechanism for how to deal with sin, how to, get forgiveness, how to grow in the Lord, even when we stumble, that God will restore us and redeem us. But this fruit producing is the love that we have for mankind, the love that we have for our neighbor, the love that we have for our family, the love that we have for our church family. The second thing in application this morning is we're not harvesters. We're not to take upon ourselves to uproot unbelievers because the difference between the true and false believers isn't always obvious. Tares, especially in the early stages of growth, they look just like wheat. Remember, likewise, a false believer may resemble a true believer. And in Matthew 7, verse 22, Jesus warns that many profess faith but do not know him. Thus, each person, right, each of us, we need to examine his own relationship with God. Get your eyes off of other people, whether they're saved or not, and worry about whether you're saved or not. I think, guys, we do that a lot, especially if we have children. If you want your children to be affected by your walk, then produce good fruit. That's the best way you can help them to salvation. If you think that the best way to help your children to salvation is by being the Holy Spirit for them, reminding them of everything they've ever done wrong, and lording your authority over them, you're wrong. You're going to produce a kid that's going to run away from the church. We're not harvesters. Now there's a time coming when we will be. Because he is the Lord of the harvest, and Jesus will one day, number three, establish his true righteousness on the earth. After he raptures us and the church is out of this world, and we go through the millennial reign after the 7-year period of tribulation, we're going to come back to rule and reign with him. But during that tribulation, there's a lot of people that believe we will come back and rule and reign with Christ, and we will drive out all of that weed that is in the field. At the end of the tribulation, all believers will be judged for their sin and unbelief. And they will be removed from God's presence, the Bible says. And true followers will reign with him. And what a beautiful hope that we have for wheat. Guys, the thief comes at an hour when we don't expect him. And some of the parables that we're going to get into as we continue to study through Matthew are going to be with respect to being ready and timing. That we're always to remain in a state of readiness for the Lord to return. That means that we are not walking in sin, but we're walking in the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. It just means on a sustained basis, we're walking in the Spirit. How about you? I gave a sort of a prophetic word this morning, and I want to give it again for those that are listening. We are in a time where we're seeing a clear distinction between wheat and tares. Our society right now is split. And I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people in this country who want to get rid of God in every way they can and silence truth in every way they can. And those people are mounting up as an army, and so are the people who want to hold on to that truth and who want the freedom to be able to, you know, to profess that truth. And what you're witnessing right now is an environment where you're able to see this parable playing out, because the wheat and the tares are growing together now. And the difference that we see is becoming abundantly clear. Abundantly clear. You can't be a weed. You were designed, you were called by God to be wheat, and wheat produces fruit. If you're not producing fruit, I will ask you, why? Is this a choice that you've made? Are you lazy? Do you not believe the word of God? Have you fallen out of love with God? Do you love the world more than you love God? Go back to 1 John and read it. He says, anybody that loves the world does not love God. Anybody that has wrapped their brain around politics and made it their religion and their lifestyle and all of these causes that we have been pulled into lately, their heart doesn't belong to God. Read it. Read it. I'm telling you right now. You may be listening. You may be caught up in the news war, in the media war, in the fighting, in the division, in the lack of freedom in this country. And you don't know what to do about it. Well, if you're not saved, I offer you an invitation. The Bible says you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross to offer forgiveness for your sin, to take that sin upon him and pay for it. And if you believe that and you pray that and you ask him to come into your heart, he'll do that tonight, right now. And you will be saved and you will be sealed with the Spirit. You'll be given the gifts of Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And it's just a wonderful experience. It's yours for the asking. And you might be listening today and you think, well, you know, Greg, I don't know about the fruit of my life. I'm looking more like a weed than I am wheat. Then do something about it. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confess. Get right with God. Don't wait. Do that every day. You are wheat. And the minute you start living life like a weed, there's a problem. There's a problem. The Lord is allowing us to grow together. And if we're growing as wheat, we need to be growing in righteousness. Just like the weeds, they're growing in evil. And that distinction is going to become more clear over time. Remember, church, he has shown you what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.